Blog Talk Radio.
My brother?
Oh, I'm great, my friend. I'm great, very at peace and focused.
Oh, amen to that. Well, you know, I'm going to, you know, something's going on with the computers around here, and as I am in the studio, but it is doing a dance and a half on me. And so I want you to just kind of like give us a outline of what we're going to be talking about today. You know, just kind of share out as to what, you know, what we're talking about, because it's a very interesting topic.
Well, for one, I feel really blessed and privileged to bring forth this discussion, because although we've had many I believe that this discussion pierces below the surface and really evokes a thought process. But most importantly, I think what this radio show is about is not offering just the problems of our day, but possible solutions or insights to possible solutions that can help us along our way and our journey. So today certainly is one of those discussions, and the question that's posed, why aren't we comfortable with making changes? Let me say that again. Why aren't we comfortable with making changes? Maybe we don't know how. And so that's going to be the discussion. Because through all walks and avenues, whether it be with our children, our parents, our coworkers, our significant others, not being willing or being inflexible to make changes can present such a cataclysmic offset in our trajectory or our relationship where we're going. It can do so much harm. And then followed by, maybe we just don't know how to correct it. And that's a fair assessment. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, and sometimes we walk around, but we don't see the reflection of ourselves until someone is kind enough to say, hey, maybe it's an older person, an aunt, an uncle, a coworker. Hey, you're making a false step. If you could, maybe lovingly they help us to correct where we should go. So let's examine why we feel uncomfortable about making changes. This could be very provoking.
Wow, that was great. That was great. So, you know, that first of all, before we get started, I want to say hello to all of our friends around the world. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our show today with Phoenix and myself, Wardell. We're so excited to be here with you guys. And I want to make sure that we just reach out to all of our friends around the world and say we care about you and we appreciate you and we thank you for being a part of this show with us. It's a very special show to me. Also, I want to make sure that we mention the fact that it is Breast Cancer Month. And so with that in mind, just do something, whatever you can, to just bring the awareness as we're dealing with this situation. So many of our sisters are dying from this disease, and we need to do whatever we can to, you know, to support them and love them through this, because it's difficult, and I've witnessed it with a very close friend of mine, and man, oh man, I don't want to see that again. So whatever we can do to love and support our sisters through this, you know, it would be a blessing. All right, so here we go. Phoenix, take it away, my brother.
Okay, so back to the subject matter, and as a liaison to breast cancer, you know, breast cancer too, something amongst many things that require us to make changes, maybe in our sexual intimacy, maybe in our diet, maybe in terms of not procrastinating and to make a decision, maybe being uncomfortable to telling our partner how we could get help. Many times we feel defenseless and we don't always talk about it. So this is a broad lens to something that is adaptive, something that can really, really help us below the surface as we develop the best version of ourselves to become making changes. Let's talk about it.
Okay. All right. So go ahead on and get going with it, brother. I'm going to let you
make
this one. As I'm still working on, I'm working over here on this computer trying to figure out what's going on in our system.
Well, from my research, obviously, just to scratch the surface, change makes us uncomfortable because it could be good, it can be bad. So it's really the unknown. So we may be hesitant maybe we do have an idea of what we can do. But the first, I think, line of defense is it really exposes our imperfections, and we really don't know what the outcome might be. So it can be scary, and that's something, even as adults, you know, we think of children, you know, first day going to kindergarten or first day going to junior high school, they could be apprehensive in making that change to the new school. They don't know. They don't have friends.
Right.
And so this begins to open the interior of why we could be ambivalent or hesitant in terms of making changes, you know. But nonetheless, changes are a requirement. Sometimes you just can't escape it. You have to make a change.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, making that change. I mean, you know, like if someone was to put me in a situation where, or I put myself in a situation, I don't even know how it comes to that, but when it comes to being in that situation where I need to try to be comfortable in it, what are the steps to becoming, and how do you know that you're not? What are the
telltale signs?
yes, absolutely.
Well, interestingly, you know, one of the things that I came across that really impressed me through my research was the human brain. You know, they always say, oh, you only use 10% of your brain. You know, we've all heard that. And whether we accept it or reject that, we do know the brain is the most complex organ in our body. We get all excited about our iPhones and supercomputers and smart this and smart that. But we are living testaments of the Most High, who has given us a tremendous capacity. So the first line of defense is understand our own brain. And one of the things that my research established was the brain, the human brain, needs stability to work sanely. I had the privilege of working in the psychiatric wards when I was younger. And one of the things that I noticed, when the mind goes askew or drifts, it requires us to bring it back to a stable thing, like 6 o'clock in the morning, not 6:01. Going into the day hall with the rest, eating at exactly 8, not 7:59. Going back to something that is stable, the brain starts to repair itself simply by doing something that is stable and consistent. So based on that, we can see that the first thing is our brain does not like to change. It gets comfortable where it's at. We know what time we have to be to work. We know what time our spouse comes home. We know our kids don't like broccoli. So we're cool with that.
Okay.
And that's just on a superficial level. But in terms of making change, it's important to understand why these barriers make us feel a certain way. Because once we understand that, then we can begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together to step out of those boundaries or our comfort zones. So what do you think about that?
It's heavy. Good thought right there. I mean, you got me thinking. I am really just in it right now and trying to figure this out.
And it said, here's what's interesting. It said the brain really struggles, notice this, at any cost to resist the change. You know, like sometimes, you know, as songwriters, bro, we always hear, oh, follow your heart and oh, your heart. But of course, we realize when we delve into it, you know, even the creator of all things said, don't trust your heart, because the heart can be so strong and it can change and move mountains and make you do things that you normally wouldn't do. Well, it turns out the brain is no different. The brain says, hey, pal, I don't care what you had in mind. I don't want to move. And it says it will do anything at any cost to resist change.
So I know that's heavy. So are you telling me we can't trust our heart and we can't trust our brain?
As far as the heart's concerned, the Creator says you can't trust the heart. So that doesn't originate with me. It says, do not trust your heart, because the heart is treacherous. Who can know it? That's God's word. So don't hate the messenger. So it's not saying that we can't have feelings. It's not saying that we can't do things that are heart-related. It says to be very careful that our emotions don't overshadow our ability to think it through. Oh, I love this man. Oh, he's everything. Oh, he's a showboat. But he doesn't have a job. He's been known to beat on women. He's a little aggressive. Oh, you know, everybody says he's an alcoholic. I mean, let's say, for instance, worst case scenario.
Yeah, right.
The heart says, oh, I love him, but he's such a great, but to me, he doesn't do. God is saying, be careful. Go back to the brain.
Be careful.
You know, we're not saying that we can't overcome these inclinations of the brain, because we all like to think that we're captains of our own ship. We're Captain Kirks of our own vessel, right? Our USS Brain Enterprise. But if we understand that the heart's comfortability and the brain's comfortability is to fight against us, then that requires us to go deeper in our meditation or channel of thought. And sometimes maybe, you know, in a world of pushing buttons on our phone and looking up everything on Google, how about taking an old-fashioned piece of paper and pencil? You know how we learned, brother? You know, we got all five senses involved. We made a line, pros, cons. Here's the pro, boom. Here's the con, boom. And as you write this list down physically, because your body's involved in writing, all five senses are involved, we're not relating on some computer, we're back to using, hey, our brain, guess what? We begin to say, wow, the pros outweigh the cons, or the cons outweigh the pros. At least we're thinking now. And now we have the ability to say, you know, I could have been a little different at the workplace. You know, I don't like to work past 9 o'clock, but there was a need. And, you know, one of our coworkers took sick. I was the only one that knew how to man the ship. Let me show a little compassion and let me stay another 15, 20 minutes until I get relief. That's maybe in the workplace. But what about in a relationship? I don't like the way you do things, and you do it this way and I want to do it that way. Could we say, is doing it their way, is it going to cut off a limb, an arm, a leg? Am I going to lose blood because of this? Is it just that dire that I couldn't make a concession? You know what? Let me be a little flexible and let me try it. Let me take a step out on the wild side and say, you know, honey, you like drama and I like horror movies. Can we watch a PG-13 where nobody gets cut or nobody leaves somebody or does somebody wrong? Can we watch Flipper? You know, we can make concession, which is the beginning of a change. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and if we always had that on the top of the list, like I think we'll be in a better place. Lot of times we become
rigid.
I think the thing that makes us rigid is that we are a society of reactive as opposed to proactive. And if we try to be proactive a little more, we can prevent ourselves from getting into situations. You know, I mean, there's so many times, just as an example of what I mean by reactive and proactive, going and getting physicals, checking, making sure you're okay before you get sick. And if there is something there, like what happened to my beautiful sister Astrid, that she, you know, she went in for an examination, had no idea that she had the beginning of breast cancer.
Wow.
And she was like in shock, like, what? What are you saying? But because she went in, she was able to win. They got rid of it, and she is cured and healed from it and she did not lose her breasts or both of her breasts. She
and you know what's interesting, back to the mind, how powerful the mind is. Do you know when people get sick, my dad was one way and my mother was another. My dad was, and he was a biologist. When he got sick, he was like, oh, poor pity me. Oh, he'd go off the deep blue end.
Yeah, right.
And my mother would pass out in the kitchen because of low blood pressure. We wouldn't know about it until my dad told us. So when you tell the brain to think positive thoughts, do you know it has the ability to heal you from within? If starfish can grow a leg back, we haven't really fully understood, since, again, we only understand 10% of our brain, just how powerful the brain is if we say, you know what, I'm not going to let myself get sick. You know what, I'm going to be proactive, like you said, and do everything within my power. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to stay away from McDonald's. Nothing negative about McDonald's, because I do like a good quarter pounder. I'm sorry. But you know what? Maybe I'm going to stick to the greens, like my grandmother used to say, keeping my plate colorful, maybe something orange like sweet potato, maybe something yellow like yellow squash,
right,
maybe
right.
something like brown that's a good meat. The more colorful, she said, that your plate was, the better nutritionally you were eating. Check that out.
Well,
so the brain can change how you think about things.
Absolutely, but you have to allow that. You have to be a part. You have to participate. You have to be a willing participant.
Being flexible.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so, and if we could be proactive, we will save a lot of situations from, you know, getting sick, breaking up.
You know, I had a thought. I'm sorry. I'm just bubbling because this is actually a very personal subject, as you know.
As I know.
My brother, this is very personal to me. My dad used to use this expression, at night, when you close your eyes and you are within your most disquieting thoughts. And we've all been there. We've laid on the bed. We've taken a good exhalation. Our eyeballs are only looking at our eyelids, so we see these little dots and little things moving because we're behind our head now. Those disquieting thoughts, in other words, you're not trying to impress your girlfriend, you're not trying to impress your buddy, you're not trying to get that promotion from your boss, you're not a brown noser right now, but you're dealing with you, yourself, me, myself, and I. Here is a time, which unfortunately we live busy lives, we don't always get this free time to really get into our own heads and say, you know, today wasn't a good day. You could have handled that differently. You could talk to yourself. What did I do? I did this. You know, thinking about it. You know, this is very healthy. Dealing with your innermost feelings, your disquieting thoughts, those little ideas that pop up in your brain and says, man, you know you did that wrong. You know, man, you shouldn't have responded to your girl, your wife like that. Man, why did I fly off at the handle at my kid that way? Why did I scream at the dog? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Those are your disquieting thoughts. That's your conscience pricking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the choice we have. Do we shut it down and ignore it and justify it? Do we find ourselves justifying everything that we did? Or do we say, yeah, you know, I really feel bad, and I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but I'm going to try to walk up to my coworker and say, hey, could I take you out to lunch? Hey, man, do you want my bagel? I'm not going to eat the other half. Or could I do something, a baby step, that demonstrates I'm willing to make a change? These are some of the proactive things, I think, Wardell, that you were talking about, that we're in command to do, but like you said, we have to participate to want to do that.
Let me. I have a question from listeners. Are we trying to avoid pain by not making changes?
Yeah, that could be a part of it. Sure, I think that is that's a great observation. Pain is. Come on, when we go to the dentist, how many times do we tell ourselves, let me just get some Orajel. I'll be cool.
Yeah, we don't want
that
pain.
With the hairy forearms drilling in our head. let's be honest with ourselves. So, yeah, we avoid pain at all costs.
No pain, no gain.
Light pain, that's a different discussion.
Okay, so is it a problem really a memory? I think that's what it says. Is it a problem really a memory?
Well, if we have a negative experience about something, maybe we were a child. And I know for me, I had certain relatives that mistreated me in exposure to my siblings. They treated me differently, and I took a dim view of that. I was like, well, why do they get to have ice cream? And I got to sit it out on the bench. There's not enough for me, you know.
Yeah, right.
So maybe it's a painful experience that's a sore paw in your memory. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
Great questions.
Yeah, well, we have.
But the thing, but I just want to say, in addition to that, the positive thing about that is identifying that. This is what happened to me. This is what I didn't like. But now I'm an adult. I don't need somebody to buy me ice cream. I can be proactive and get my own ice cream, or I could get them ice cream. Now you're taking positive steps, no matter how big or small, giant steps or baby steps, to overcome a bad memory.
Yes. So the topic of the show today is, what is the topic of the show?
Why is it difficult for us to make changes? Because maybe we don't, or why aren't we able to make changes? Let me read it again. Why aren't we comfortable with making changes? Maybe we don't know how.
I wanted to read it exact as well. I want to know, is there a problem with not wanting to make a change? Just like, you know, there's people that go, this is who I am. That's just the way it is. I don't care what you're thinking. I don't care how you feel. I'm just going to be a bulldozer, and I'm going to bulldoze my way through this relationship.
you said the key word, bro, bulldozer, which is the opposite of change, which is also a derivative of justification. Are we guilty of justifying everything that we do wrong? Because if that's the key, you know, if we get to the wrong destination and we blame our navigation system when we wasn't using it, well, hello, you didn't use Google Maps. You thought you knew how to get there. Now that you didn't get there, you're going to blame Google Maps? You never turned it on.
They never
did. You know
did.
What I'm saying? So that's you talk about a barrier. Do we justify everything that we do wrong? Not good. Hello? Red flag.
another question from the listeners. Is the fear of change only because the vision isn't clear enough?
So theoretically, when we say our vision isn't clear, that is a metaphor for something is clouding our judgment. Clarity is judgment. Like, what is affecting our judgment? Is it our heart? Oh, I love him. Or I can't stand him. You know, or
ignorance?
I don't like him. That
what about ignorance? What about if it's just someone that just don't realize, you know, that this is happening, and you and I and the listeners are now waking this thought up to them by asking these questions, by just talking about this, bringing this to mind? It's like, oh, I didn't think about that. So it could be
ignorance,
just not knowing.
Not as bad. Yeah, ignorance is right. It's not as bad sometimes as the connotation suggests. We all are ignorant to a greater or lesser degree.
And when we
cop to our own inability to know everything, and we don't become the proverbial know-it-all, then we can begin to make a change. So that, too, is a touchstone in order to make a change. So yes, ignorance, the state of not knowing. I don't know him. He's a different culture. He's a different, he comes from a different neck of the woods. I'm from the South. He's from the North. I don't like the way he talks. That too is a derivative of ignorance.
Yeah.
How can we combat that? Tell me, tell me a little bit about the North. Tell me a little bit about the food you eat.
Yes. All right. Well, I'll let you.
That can do much to open up dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you about that, son, about the country living.
I can tell a lot more about the country living now than I could a year ago because I got into
it. And now you appreciate it. I mean, so change is good, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yes, I think that it's so important that we, even if we're uncomfortable to change, that we as a human being, a society, as just a trying to be decent to one another, if we just open our hearts and our minds to why others are feeling or saying or doing what they're doing. Just try to figure it out. Just try to just open your hearts to it and say, you know, can you explain to me why you feel this way? And why you think
Wardell, personally, I constantly use my parents, although they're both deceased, as my litmus test, my testing ground, because I no longer have their safety net. I used to be able to call my mom and reason things out. But many times when I make a decision, and this could be helpful for our listeners, maybe, I don't know, to say, what would mom have thought about this if you had a good relationship, of course? Or would she have approved? Because the mother's connection is like no other connection in the world. You know, a mother's love. We used to say, man, you got the kind of face that only a mother could love.
Yeah,
you know, we were being mean at kids, but we were saying a mother loves her kids. Typically, they just do, you know, and that's a wonderful thing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so is, this question, another question from the listeners. It says, if you don't make a change, maybe you don't have enough reason to do it in the first place. Good gracious. That is so
good. I tell you,
good.
You know what, Wardell, your listening audiences, they're just the best in the world. It just doesn't come any better. Wow.
That is so good. And if you don't have the reason in the first place, wow. It's so then just think about this. Let's just think about that. If you don't have the reason to do it in the first place, then why are you there? Why?
Wow. So it's really putting it's really putting a level of importance, okay? And you know, it's called valuing or devaluing. You know, sometimes, even without children, forget about relationships. You know, we can say, oh, you know, I wanted my son to be a doctor and he wants to be a football player. I don't like sports. Okay, that's okay. But if you devalue your child, if you make him feel less than you're never going to make the change. Somebody says, hey, you know, I don't like the way you talk to your son, man. Maybe you could talk to your son a little better. Yeah, but that kid, man, he gets awful grades, and, man, he doesn't. So to value or to devalue can be the change that needs to or require change that needs to occur in order for you to do something that's proactive. What do you think?
Yes, say that again. Say it again.
In other words, to value or to devalue. And I just used the child as an example, a parent that had the aspiration of maybe the child being a doctor. And the child decided they wanted to be a lawyer. They're both good careers. But if you downgrade your child because it didn't want to be a doctor, I always wanted you to be a doctor. Daughter, I always wanted you to be a ballerina. You never listened to me. man, you've devalued your child. So where is there room for change?
Change on whose part? Change on whose part?
Change on the
part?
One
the
that
child
is
or,
on, mom,
or the,
on mom's part.
On the parent.
Or dad's part.
Or the parent's
part. In other words, the one responsible for valuing or devaluing holds the key to change. You know, if you have a vision of your boss, I don't
or
like
or they need to pick
he,
up the key.
Yeah, absolutely. So
pick up the
so
key
we,
and change.
Make, what did Michael say? Start with make, the man in the mirror.
And make
that
change. You know, it's and the reason why he said that, because he knows that, or he knew that so many people, it's difficult to change. It's difficult to make that change. And it's easier to point fingers. It's easier to say that you need to change and you need to get yourself together. And you, it's so easier to do the you thing as opposed to me. And that's just accepting, you know, your fault. You need to,
yes.
We need to be able to look at ourselves and go, you know what? I have some issues. In other words, we need to grow up. We really need to grow up and take responsibility for who we are.
Wardell, I've said this to you before. I always love your demeanor because, you know, you're such a stand-up guy in terms of being or trying to be a practicing Christian. And that doesn't take away from any other faith. It just means that you're proactive in constantly gauging. It's like when you're driving and you have a destination to get to. But you constantly use your brakes because you realize, even though I need to get to my destination and I'm running a little bit behind, if I don't use my brakes, I'm going to run into things.
Hmm.
And just like if I'm trying to be a good Christian, I don't like what you did, but I have no control of putting the brakes on my emotion, then I'm going to run into things, mind-blowing things that perhaps is going to prevent the change. So, yes, growing up and being palatable, flexible, humble, all of these bowls, humble, flexible, palatable, amiable, you know, can we do that?
Yes.
You know.
Well, so the question is from the listeners, should we think of change as an adventure rather than an obstacle?
I love that. See, now they're talking my language, the language of love. Sometimes it's just switching your thought process. Yes. You know, this is a new journey. You know, I'm going to this new school, and I look forward to meeting some new people. Hey, I'm going through a divorce, and I'm not happy about it, but I'm looking forward to meeting a new marriage partner. Maybe I've learned something through this process.
Mm.
That's a positive viewpoint,
yeah,
and we're
well,
all capable of doing it.
Seeing the glass halfway full, of course, and you know, the bottom line is that we just have to have the heart. We have to open our heart, and that's how do we get people to come to that point where, even if you're uncomfortable with change, even if you're just you know, just like you're comfortable with who you are and where you are. How do we get people to just, because, you know, there are a lot of people that can be very mean and so stubborn and they hurt people all the time with their brashness. They just say things that like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. And it just cold blooded. Right. How do we get those people to just, you know, maybe listen to people or get into a conversation with people in regards to what you're doing is not good.
You touched upon a milestone, my brother. You have to love yourself. And sometimes before you could love someone else, you have to love yourself. you have to be realistic about your own expectations. Hey, you know, I'm not the GQ guy that I had wanted to be. Maybe I'm a little overweight. Maybe I'm not the guy. Maybe I don't have muscles like my next door neighbor. But I still have to love myself, because before I can love you, I have to love myself. But if I'm self-destructive, if I can't stand myself, then it's looking pretty dim for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. I'm just so taken. I have a situation I want to share. So, and I got to tell you guys, I got to tell you that it really blessed my heart, even though it broke my heart. So it broke my heart, and then it ended up blessing my heart. And it goes something like this. Hey, you know, that music, it's kind of loud, and it's making me uncomfortable. And it's making not just me, but other people. We can't hear certain things. Is there a way you can get that fixed? Because it's just, and then I go, okay. But, you know, it has to do with the sound system and the acoustics in the building. It's not necessarily the musicians and singers that you're having. That person don't need a microphone. That person, and you can take the mics off the drums. They don't need these things are a problem. No, they're not. But listen, when I realized that this person didn't really understand the dynamics of what her complaint was about, I had to say to her, "Well, you know what? Listen, this is the thing. I want you. I hear you. I hear you clearly, and I understand your concern, and your concern is my concern because you have an issue." I said, but as we're going through this, we need to love each other through it until we get to the other side of it. Can we do that? Yes. Yes, we can do that. Yes, that's great. Okay. All right. And then we hugged. But this person has been this way for a long time with a lot of people, and it has a reputation of this. But now, because I was able to penetrate the defense and that offense and that awful offense, now as weeks have gone by and we've been trying to do our best to bless her in situations, now she comes to me and hugs me. I love you. It's been a great, everything is great. And now that person, because they were willing to listen, not just complain, not just beat up on people, but was able to, I found a way to penetrate and get it her to listen. And so there's so many people now when I see her, we laugh, we smile, we're happy, and we feel good about each other, you know. And she's happy, I'm happy, and it ends up being a good situation. But this has been going on for years before me, for years with other people, years, and maybe 7 divorces in the process. But now I was able to penetrate by saying that kind of offense, which is so, can be so offensive, and just share. Can we just love each other through it? We'll get it done.
Well, my takeaway from that expression of experience is that you took the proactive approach, word keeps coming up, and you took the initiative to that proaction. You know, you took the initiative to say, you know what, your problem is my problem. Your
right.
worry is my worry. We're in this together. Not
right.
like, don't tell me about my music, man. I've been making music before you was in Pampas, dude.
Right,
see,
right.
So now if you do that, you pulled out the chopping board. You
right.
made her feel bad.
And
man, don't tell me we're from a different culture. Our culture, man, we know how to have a good time.
Right, but also you got to know, and I just want my friends that are listening to know, I was upset, comfortable with somebody coming at me, and I already knew about how this person was because she did it before to me. And so I already knew that. So when it came to me like this in a fun and in a wonderful environment that we were in, and she came with that darkness, I was proactive. I was not being reactive because since I know this person, and soon as they said, I need to talk to you, boom, I didn't go to defense. I went to, we're going to work this out.
Yeah, but the great thing is that you utilize what's called restraint. You controlled your emotion.
Yes,
you
have to.
Your inner,
we
yeah.
all have to. We all play a part in this. It's not just the
it's
bad
self-control.
Part.
Self-control.
Yeah, but and ultimately, it's called we're trying to control the situation. It's not about the individuals anymore. It's about the overall situation. And so sometimes we, you know, even in relationships, we can have our disagreements about things. And I could totally disagree with you, but I also love you. And
we
so
could agree to
because
I always say we could agree to disagree.
Right. But see, and when we agree to disagree, it's not about agreeing to disagree as much as it's about how you're saying it. Because people are looking at your body language because you can say, oh, okay, I'm sorry. You have an attitude, though. I'm sorry. The words didn't mean anything. It's your body language that said you're really not sorry. So we have to really be careful about our body language simultaneously.
You know, I was taught a long time ago, conversations are like throwing a ball to another person. And the two scenarios, one is a child and one is an adult or an athlete. Let's make it an athlete. One extreme than another. Do you throw the ball to a little child who's 3 years old the same way you would throw it to an athlete?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't
not.
You throw it to a child
underhandedly?
And you would do it softly and say, I'm getting ready to throw the ball, Johnny.
Right. Warning.
Are you ready? Good job.
Right.
But if you take that same ball and you throw it overhead and you throw it with force, man, like you're on like a professional baseball team.
You're going to hurt that
you
child.
Know,
you're
going to
hurt that child.
Exactly. You're
but
gonna
it's not
hurt
just, but
child.
Listen, you got to understand, you didn't just hurt the child. You hurt the whole relationship because now that child's going to look at you differently. They're not going to trust you anymore with that ball.
Yeah, see.
See, you changed the whole so it's not just that one thing, right? It's you're changing your whole relationship. You got to be careful how you come at people.
You know, communication, like you said, is body language. I learned in speech courses there's pitch, power, pace. You know, you can say, I love you. Or you could say, I love you. Yeah, I love you. Those are three different interpretations of love. Or, I love you. I'm not sure. You know, our pitch, our power, the pace. Or one expression was used in our speech course, which was funny. You could say the same words have a totally different meaning. You can say, look up the road ahead. Or you can say, look up the road ahead. One means to have far-sighted vision. The other one says there's possibly a decapitated head on the road. Look, up the road, ahead. So
yes.
it's not what we say, it's how we say it, and it's the demeanor in which we say it. We can say, I'm sorry, and have totally different reactions. So, yes, being proactive, being willing to make a change, taking a step back, taking the initiative. I love what you did in the scenario with the music of something that you were actually disenchanted about, but you said, your problem is my problem. Your worry and concern, however you want to say it, is my concern. We're in this together. What do we need to do to fix this? even though inside you were probably biting the bullets. This lady, oh. So, but that's self-control. And that takes a lot of chutzpah. It's a Jewish expression that means it takes a lot of restraint. It takes a lot of fortitude, courage. It says a lot about who you are in the end of the day. And I have to tell you, as one who has been through a lot in past, present, and recent times, you gauge who you are by not what you say, but how you handle your current circumstance. That's what really determines who you are. You can have this false read of yourself all you want, but how do you handle a matter? How do you handle a problem? This is going to help you understand where you're at in the stream of time. Are these some things that you need to change? Because if you take a blind eye and you continue to do the same things and you expect different results, basically the psychiatrists say you're crazy.
Absolutely.
If you do the same thing, expecting different results.
Yeah. Now, I have one last question before we got about another 9 minutes left in the show. And I just want to read this last question to you from the listeners. Should our comfort zone only exist? Hold on 1 second.
I'm sorry.
No, I heard the wife. I heard the wife in the studio. Oh, what's up? What's up, wifey? All right. So should our comfort zone only exist as our retreat rather than the place we live? So let me read that again. Should our comfort zone only exist as our retreat rather than the place we live?
Oh, shoot. I love that. Because a retreat is temporary, but the way you live is your lifestyle. And so ideally or idyllically, you want to make the change, like my dad used to say, that's unilaterally across the board, which is a fancy way of saying in every way, shape, form, or fashion as to what you're about, you want to make that kind of connection to what you're doing, you know.
Right.
And when you do that, you demonstrate that you're really willing to make an honorable change. And again, this says a lot to do with who you are at that particular place and time in your life.
Absolutely.
Are not who you say you are, but how you respond to a circumstance is the true litmus test as to who you are.
Yes. There you go.
Know?
All right. Well, I want to just go ahead on and give you or anyone. First of all, before we do anything else, I just need to do this. Father God, I just want to thank you for my brother Phoenix, and thank you for this time that we just got a chance to share. We hope that it was could touch someone wherever they may be right now in the world, that if they needed to hear these words, we hope that they are blessed because of it, because we're just looking to be a better world, a better place, and a good place. And so we thank you so much for the opportunity of Solar Records Radio, and we can share this with our brothers and sisters around the world. Thank you. Amen. So Phoenix, in closing, is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, there were a lot of things that I thought came out of this discussion, and I'm always so pleased that the listeners, the questions that they come up with, you know, are very thought-provoking. It shows that it's not a superficial discussion, that we are reaching hearts. They're reaching our hearts. There's an interchange of encouragement. I want to continue to implore the listening audience to continue to be proactive in their questions, because it helps us just as much as we hope we're helping you. There were some great things and thoughts that came out of this discussion today, being proactive, being willing to make a change, to take the initiative. I love what you said, Wardell. Hey, this problem that you're presenting to me is as much my problem as it is yours, or vice versa, your problem as it is mine. So taking responsibility, disarming someone
and making them feel that you're connected to making a change. The illustration of throwing a ball to a baby as opposed to an Olympic athlete. Do we exchange conversations with the idea to hurt, or do we exchange conversations with the idea to heal? All of these things are very positive things that we can take away today. It's a lot to cover within an hour, but I'm so pleased always with the listening audience, because it helps me to realize that we're not alone. It's one big world out here, and we all need a healing word that will help us all.
Yes. Awesome. Well, man, thank you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And we just, you know, you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And we look forward to seeing you again on Thursday. It'll be
Absolutely.
Our first time,
Absolutely,
just Thursday.
Bro.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
All right.
Okay,
well, go be blessed, man. God bless you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man. I'll talk
All right,
to
man.
You.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Okay, guys. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to go to Mixing It Up here on Solar Records Radio. Is it Mixing It Up? No. Yes. Yes, it is. On Solar Records Radio, we're going to mix it up a little bit. So it's time for the music, for the lovers of music. We'll be right back. Jays, put it down. Man, oh, man, it must be fun playing with them. My friend plays drums for them, and he must have a good time. Man, oh, man. You know, I like the other songs, too. They have so many great songs. Remember, y'all know it, almost every time I end my show, I play, I hope you enjoy yourself. And that's like one of their newer songs. Oh, I love, 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 love it. Anyway, guys, all right, so we are just getting into, we got about another 56 minutes left in this part of the show. Thanks to Phoenix for that great information. That was good. That was good. I look forward to our conversation on Thursday as well. And it's going to be good. We're going to have a good time chopping it up. And we have some good topics coming up, as I was sharing with one of the associate producers earlier today, and just got so excited. I was like, ooh, I can't wait to talk about that, man. We gotta talk about that. And so, but anyway, thanks, Greg, for that. Got me all hyped up about it. I keep on looking at our notes now. But anyway, we're going to mix it up and just try to have a good time here. The music is what we do when we mix it up. We play all the different types of music that we play throughout the week. We play in just this last hour of this show. And so you'll hear different, you know, types of music, dance music, praise and worship, old school, new school, jazz, you know, indie artists. And just, you know, some classy R&B. All right, so kick back, relax, and thank you for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. This is your boy, Wardell Potts Jr. Much love to all you guys. Let's get this baby rolling.
Lift every voice and sing.
Oh, place is our God where we met thee. Lest our heart, drunk of the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadow beneath thy hand, may we forever stand. Our God, thank you.
Jones. We got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We meet every day at the same cafe, 6:30, and no one knows she'll be there. Holding hands, making all kinds of plans, while the jukebox plays our favorite song. Me and Mr. Jones, we got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We gotta be extra careful that we don't build our hopes up too high, 'cause she's got her own obligations, and so do I. But it's much too strong to let it go now. Well, it's time for us to believe it. It hurts so much inside. Now she'll go her way, and I'll go mine. Tomorrow we'll meet the same place, the same time. Me and Mrs. Jones. We got a thing going on. The same place, the same cafe, the same time. And we're gonna hold hands like we used to. We're gonna talk it over. We know, they know, and you know and I know that it was wrong. But I'll make it strong. We gotta let them know now that we got a thing going on. Thank you.
Giant Steps on Solar Records Radio. Oh my goodness, John Coltrane. And he lived right down the street from me in the city of Philadelphia on 33rd and Diamond, across the street from Fairmount Park. I had no idea. As a young man, I had no idea, because my dad's gas station, the Sunoco station, for my friends that are in Philadelphia that are listening to the show, the Sunoco station was my dad's gas station on 33rd and Diamond. And John Coltrane lived right down the street on the same side of the street, because on the other side of the street was Fairmount Park, which really took up like the center of Philadelphia. Such a giant park. And it's just beautiful, beautiful park. And anyway, we're mixing it up and just going through this music that we play here on Solar Records Radio. Like, tomorrow is Indie Jazz Day on Solar Records Radio. Thanks for the flyer, Greg. You're awesome. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we celebrate our jazz artists and our indie artists around the world. So if you want to tune in and hang out with us, and you know, you'll be hearing, that's what you'll be hearing tomorrow. Oh, we love it. We love it. It's a good time, good music, good food, good company. It's always a wonderful combination, right? And we are your company, especially if no one's there with you, because I'm usually here in the studio. You know, it's just us in the studio. So whoever's doing the show with me. So we... You know, we, and if I'm doing it by myself, then I got you. If you're by yourself, and we could just hang out and chill, you send me messages through Messenger, you know, say, Wardell, play this song, or, you know, or just tell us how you liked it. You know, we can communicate. All right. And so anyway, much love to you guys. I hope you're having a blessed week so far. We are in the second day of the week, and we're moving forward. It's actually, we're all starting to feel, you know, the ones that are above the equator, north of the equator, we are starting to feel the cooling of the temperatures, right? It's starting to cool down, and things are starting to get, you know, it's there's something good about it, okay? And you can always find something good in anything if you want to. Well, not in anything, but most things. You can always find something good in you, but you have to want to, first of all, and look for it. And so, when the weather's changing, I notice ladies, a lot of ladies like to, they have like these certain, like, clothes for the winter, so they move their clothes and they switch up and get rid of the summer clothes and put in the winter, and they're excited about it. I'm like, that's too much work. They're excited about it. Oh yeah, yeah, they get so excited. And so that's good. That's good for them. I'm happy for them, because whatever makes them happy, whatever makes you happy, it's all good. And so let's just do happy. Right? So, but listen, yesterday I want to share. So I don't know. I mean, it wasn't yesterday, Sunday. I shared something, and I just want to share it with you guys real quickly, okay? So what I want to share with you is that there was this, it's just a situation, and I need you to just pay attention just for a minute. So there was this lady, right? And so she walks up to the pastor of the church during the service, as, you know, maybe she was helping with the, you know, the offering or whatever, and she said to the pastor, "Hey, pastor." And he said, "Yes." She says, "I just want you to know this is my last Sunday here. I'm going to be leaving." And he's like, "What? That's so sad. Why? Is there something went wrong? Is there anything I can do?" And she goes, "Well, you know, I'm just tired of every time I look around, the people at the church, they're busy doing..." She goes, "Well, always, they're either on something, they are, you know, they're talking, you know, playing and talking to each other instead of listening to the message. And so I think I'm going to go ahead and have to leave." And so the pastor was like, "Well, okay, I'm so sorry that you want to leave the church." He says, "But do me a favor, before you you leave, can you just do me a favor? And then and she said, I'm just going to mute this for a second, but I'll bring you back on. So she said, yeah, sure, could do that. And so it says, all right, so just do. I want you to get a glass, and I want you to take this glass and fill it up with water. And after you fill it up with water, I want you to walk around the whole church two times without spilling any water. Can you do that? Can you walk around two times without spilling any water? And she says, sure, sure, I'll do it. And she says, okay, go ahead, do it now. And she's like, now? And he said, yeah, just do it now. So then she took the glass and she went around the church. She walked all around and the people just watching her. She walked all the way around and she came back. She says, and when she got back to the front, she says, that's one. One more to go. And then she went all the way around and she came back and she says, I'm done. And then pastor says, oh, okay, so she says, I didn't spill any. And he says, okay, great, you didn't spill any. She says, well, let me ask you a question. She goes, yes. He says, so when you were doing the, how many people did you see? Did you see anybody like maybe on their phones or talking or, you know, doing other things that, you know, they shouldn't be doing in church while you're doing that? And then she goes, no, I didn't see. I was too busy concentrating on making sure I didn't spill the water. And he says, well, you know, that's what God would want you to do, is to pay attention to the sermon and not the people. So if you can just keep your focus on what God needs you to be focused on and not what other people are doing, you would be in a better place. And she was just like blown away. She recognized that, wow, I have been really messing up here. I've been focusing on the wrong thing. And so I just thought that was interesting because it's really important that we pay attention to why we are somewhere and not worry about all the other stuff that's going on. So Don Fleming's in the house. What's up, Mr. Fleming?
I was listening to that, you know. I was listening to some of that wisdom you were saying, man. That is pretty awesome. As as far as, you know, versus the message versus the people, you know, some of the people who aren't as, what's the word I'm looking for, the people who aren't your friends or aren't friendly, aren't Christian-like or whatever, versus just the actual message from the church. I think that's a great, that's some great wisdom right there that you shared.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, yeah, you can apply that to, you know, so many different, you know, cases and situations. It's not just about, you know, what the church is doing, but you can apply it to when you go to a job and you have a job. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You do what you're there for. Don't let other people distract you. You got to focus on what you are supposed to be doing. And then that's all that really matters at the end of the day. But if you get caught up in everybody else's drama and what's going on with them and what you think is going on, and then you're forgetting about your purpose, what you're there for. And, you know, and you will not be at your best. Because you're all over the place. So I just thought that was a great message. And like you said, everybody.
That's real.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. So, but anyway, we're mixing it up and look forward to tomorrow. I think we're going to have a guest tomorrow, as a matter of fact. I gotta follow up on that. I believe I have a artist, a Chinese lady, that's going to be calling in from L.A. I need to get back on that because I started that and got sidetracked. You know what? See, I did exactly what I was saying. Got to stay focused. But anyway, yeah, so I will update you guys, and I will also send that information to you, Greg. Sorry about that. And we'll get going here on Soul Records Radio. So it's time to get back to the music. We got only 27 minutes left. Wow, how does time fly so fast?
Time goes by, man. Time goes by because I was, as a matter of fact, I was at a little conference earlier, and I was like, wait a minute. It's 3:17. It's 3:20. And, Lord, and you had called me, and I was like, oh, let me call in right quick. I got to call in. And I want to hear the people, and I want to hear the music, and you know I like listening to the show. Even when I don't call, like you didn't know that, did you, Wardell? but no, I love the show, man. And I was like, let me go ahead and call in and just let everybody know that I am here. I am the one. I am here. No, but man, it's all good, man. Thank you for thinking of me, checking in on me, man. Because this day, you know, has kind of just going by so quick, and you know, being able to be on the radio with you, man, it's that doesn't matter how you feel. You feel some type of way ever, you know, if it's a bad day or anything like that. When I'm on the air with you, man, it's just all of those cares are put aside, you know. So I'm glad to be able to do it. So, but I'm not on the board, so you're probably gonna have to control my mic. But but yeah, man, I enjoy it.
Yeah, we appreciate you too. You know, and I understand. I have no qualms about that. You are doing what you have to do, and I'm so proud of you and all the great things you got going on, man. And so, you know, we love and support each other, and that's a good thing. I'm grateful for our relationship. I'm so grateful for this relationship. So, speaking of that, there's, you know, my relationship with my friend who passed away, Richard Randolph. I'm going to start this next set, what do you call it, Don? How do you say it?
This next segment?
Yeah, this next segment off with a song that Richard and I wrote, and it is released. It is, you can purchase it if you want to. You can go to wardellpostjr.com, or you can go to any of those other downloading, you know, iTunes or whatever it is that you would like to purchase your music from, you are appreciated. We do appreciate it, but hopefully you like it. Let's play it a little bit and see if you like it. All right.
Yeah.
And
knock it out.
Anyway, anything else on your heart, Don, before we get back to the music show?
Man, just, you know, of course we are mixing up a little bit of everything on every Tuesday, of course, from 3 to 5. Actually, from 4 to 5, because 3 to 4. You have, you know, what was the topic today? I didn't get a chance to hear you in Phoenix.
I want to make sure I read it right here. but, oh, man, and it is tiny, but it is, oh. So it had to do with being, I can't see it because it's so tiny. Let me see if I can go here. But it was a really... really good topic, and why aren't we comfortable with making changes? Maybe we don't know how. Why aren't we comfortable with making changes? Maybe we don't know how. And so, you know, a lot of times we get in those zones, man, where, you know, I don't. There's nothing wrong with me. Why do I need to change? Right then and there, you know you need to change. Right there. I'm good. You the one with the problem. Oh, man. Look at this accusatory stuff. What's going
on? Ain't nothing wrong with me.
It's like, yeah. You need to fix you. I'm all that. So it was a really good topic. If you guys want to hear it, you know, after this segment is over, you'll be able to go back and
check out the playback.
You won't be able to listen to it. Yeah, check out the archives and stuff. And so it's, but it was really interesting, really good. So we're gonna have a lot of fun, man. I haven't talked to you in a couple of days. I need to talk to you and update you on some stuff too. What's going on around here? Oh man, God is good all the time. So let's get going here
all
on Polaris Radio, guys. Don Fleming's on. Don Fleming's on the road, and I'm in the studio, and the music is right here waiting for you. We'll be back.
Heaven knows I can tell we're gonna you, baby, feel you.
Let me hold you tight.
It's you and I just feeling.
Need you in my life.
I never met anyone like you, baby, like you, lady.
You're the kind of girl
that I need in my life.
You're the kind of girl
that makes it alright.
You're the kind of girl
that makes it change what's the fun.
You're the kind of girl.
How could it be? Love has come this way. Down on my knees, praying every day. And I'm so glad you saved you for me. I'm feeling your electricity. Oh, 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 oh.
It's right.
I feel you, baby, feel you.
Let me hold you tight.
It's you and I that's willing.
Like, have you home before the sunrise.
I can feel midnight love.
I can
I'm sorry about that. What's up, Don? You there, my brother?
Man, I am good. That last track, man, you really hooked that up. I really appreciate that. That is from my stash, music from the BB&Q band. Of course, stands for the Brooklyn, Bronx, and Queens band. 1985 classic called Genie. Of course, rest in peace to Mr. Curtis Harrison. And man, you had some nice little bangers before that, man. Talk a little bit about them.
Midnight Lover, featuring Snoop Dogg, and that was I'm a little far from the mic, sorry. Yeah, Midnight Lover. And that was featuring Snoop Dogg, and then before that I played, I believe it was my song. You're the Kind of Girl, by Wardell Potts Jr. and Richard Randolph, I should say, also, because he wrote it with me. But anyway, we are so blessed and so grateful for everything we get to do with you guys. I hope you had a wonderful day. We look forward to tomorrow, as tomorrow we will be celebrating our Indian jazz artists on Soul Art Records Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So come hang out with us. Come chill. It's hump day. We'll be right in the middle of the week, you know. So just some good food, good company, and we'll supply the good music, right? So come hang
there
out with
go.
Us. We'll have a good time all together. Anyway, so what's up, Don? How do you want to close this out, my brother?
Well, man, you know what? We're about 7 minutes away from the top of the hour. Of course, we're going to wrap it up. But I want to start this off before we go, man. I know we are pressed for time, but I had to hook this up. You know, I'm a big Carlita Duran fan. She's featured on this song. I want to take you guys back to 2014 from a beautiful song called From the Foreign Exchange. The name of the song is called Dreams Are Made for Two. Guys, check it out. We will see you tomorrow for Indie Jazz Wednesday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Until then, you guys stay safe and have a blessed Tuesday.
All right. Sounds good. Good night, guys. God bless you. We love you.
Good night.
Good night. guys. God bless you. Father God, take care, my friends. Be a blessing. We love you. Solar Records Radio. God, we thank you for everything that you do. We thank you. Please take care of my friends wherever they are in the world. Keep them safe. And thank you for bringing them into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, good night. Thanks, Greg, for the flyers. You all take it easy. Have a blessed night. Good night. Glad you're safe. Astrid, you guys all be blessed.